This is the Life Truth Network.
Quest for our Truth, Episode 324.
Quest for Truth, presented by Protectorate Productions and HPN, Helpsley Podcast Network. Now located at life-truth.com. And now, here are your hosts. Oh, come on, do I really have to read this? Those world-famous ministers of goodwill. Names you can trust. Oh, somebody, please shoot me. Keith Helpsley and Nathan Caldwell.
Hey, welcome everybody. This is your host Keith, and I kind of am doing a solo episode again. I know at the last the previous episode I mentioned the possibility of recording live with Nathan Caldwell. Well, you know, I should always insert the appendix that my grandparents and their generation used to do, and that is, Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise. Because I guess the Lord ain't willing, and the creeks must be mighty high. Because we have yet another barrier to be able to get together. But hey, it is the summer months, and that has to be expected. You know, busy schedules, kids out of school, such like that. Which actually leads into the topic of discussion today. It won't be very long. Nathan Caldwell will pop in with a couple of comments as we proceed through this. This is the whole main section is probably less than 20 minutes, but I'll probably yammer on for a little bit as an epilogue to the message, I guess you would say. I don't have a lot of housekeeping. I do want to mention to folks that we do have a email newsletter. It's just a little short 6-part series. Please stop by the webpage. Right near the top, there is a link about, have you heard the good news? Click here, and it takes you to our page on signing up for courses. Right now, it's only just one. Option. I appreciate your input and support on that. It's brand new for us. We've never done anything like this before. So any kind of input you could do. And right now, the best input is just visit a page and sign up for it. Well, moving on. As mentioned, this is going to be very long. So I'll just keep this really fast. We'll get to it right after this really fast word from the Christian Podcast Community, ChristianPodcastCommunity.org. We hear all kinds of great shows like this one.
Are you just watching?
Do you enjoy watching movies?
The special effects, the interesting characters, the great stories.
There's a lot to enjoy that comes out of Hollywood. But sometimes it's best to approach secular media with a healthy dose of critical thinking.
Join me, E. Franklin.
And Tim Martin.
As we discuss our favorite movies.
And share critical thinking for the entertained Christian.
So visit areyoujustwatching.com to subscribe.
And don't just watch.
Hello, and welcome to the In Awe and Wonder podcast.
In Awe Wonder podcast, all one word, at gmail.com.
The voicemail, the Google voicemail number set up where you can call and leave a message, 724-237-5319. My purpose statement, it really comes down to seeing the need and wanting to help, standing in the gap, so to speak, by helping women to grow in biblical literacy, discernment, discipleship, Christian living, and in awe and wonder of God. From there, my prayer would be that women growing in these areas would do something to share the gospel and to help grow other women disciples locally in their communities and churches and in the world. Thanks for listening. So, you can like, subscribe, and share. The blog page is www.kristen-hamilton.com. You can follow the Facebook page called In Awe and Wonder Podcast/blog.
and you can do a search for the private Facebook group that is simply called In Awe and Wonder. You can follow me on Twitter at Kristen Hammy. Have a great day and keep reading your Bible.
Main topic.
Okay, let's go ahead and roll tape, I guess you would say, with our main topic right now.
Hey, Nathan, I wanted to record a couple of thoughts. I know you had mentioned the topic of family and church. And, of course, at this point, I do know what you intend by the topic, but let me rewind my brain to the moment when I first saw the topic, and the first thing that came into my mind is, in two words, church politics. It's not so much of, you know, should we prioritize one or the other, meaning should we, you know, if there's a family crisis, to avoid going to church, or should we always choose to worship regardless of a family crisis? On the surface, it seems pretty tame. Of course, you know, hey, I'm a layman. I'm not the pastor. I wouldn't be missed if, let's say, someone in my family had a need, and it's like I just don't make it. I would not be missed, whereas someone who is in a leadership role, much as the pastor, of course, would be, because you're kind of, I won't use the word anchor man, but that's kind of what you are. And if you did have some sort of a family crisis, it would be definitely more noticeable if you just didn't show up. Now, with that in mind, that's my first thoughts, without knowing anything more about the topic.
You know, I guess I could start off by saying it's not a rare thing for pastors to, maybe not purposefully, but partially neglect the family for the church. You know, they've got to be here for this project, here for that project. They got to go over the office to study, you know, all these things. And while many of these things are necessary, sometimes a pastor will lose his balance and he will balance church more than family. And there's one thing we need to realize is that God created the family first. You go over to Genesis, that's where the family begins. You go over to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, well, that's where the church begins. So you've got a difference there that we have to realize. The family came first, and really and truly, while God takes first priority, the family takes second, and that's before the church. That's the way I truly view it. And the church being very, very important, obviously, the family is extremely important.
After pondering it a little bit, let me make up some, I don't know if we'll call it composite characters, fictional characters, just so we have something to hang a word picture on. And let's say there's a pastor. We'll call him, for lack of better words, we'll call him Mike, Pastor Mike. And he comes to a church, and of course the church has already been there, well established, you know, decades old history. And there's, of course, prominent people there. We'll call the guy Jim. And the pastor gets there, and he realizes that Jim is the kind of a guy where his word goes. No, I actually know a guy named Jim. He was actually a Marine in the Korean War, and he was definitely the kind of the go-getter. If you were, say, going to work on a construction project, he might ask your advice, but he's going to do it his way. But I'm not saying that this is the same Jim. That's just a name I just picked, and I just happened to think of him after I did. Anyway, unintentional. But let's say you have this guy, and he's the kind of guy that at a business meeting, if he proposes something, it's going to go. If something is brought up and he's against it or just not for it, it's not going to go through. Essentially, he runs the church. Now, the problem that can arise with that is, let's say Jim is kind of egotistical, we'll say. Let's say he can come off as being, I don't want to say a bully, but oppressive, abrasive personality. And that can definitely rub people the wrong way. And it can definitely undermine what the pastor is trying to accomplish. Now, of course, if Jim is not that way, his personality is, he's just the anchor person. He's, you know, the pillar of the community, as it were. He's kind of the continuity that holds things together. Then it could be different. But he still may unknowingly be, I don't want to use the word micromanaging, because I've been in micromanagement. And I know what it looks like, and it doesn't look like that exactly. But he has a hand in everything. And the expectations are his, what the pastor should do, what the pastor's wife should do, who's on what committees and so forth. It could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing. It's a relationship you have to cultivate. And it can be a good one, but it depends, I think, on personalities and expectations. So let me talk about expectations.
Yes, the expectations. Is the pastor really fully knowing what he's getting into when he goes into a church? Now, for the ideal situation, he should ask questions. What he may not realize is what those expectations, as far as what toll those expectations may take on the family dynamic. We can't go to soccer practice because we've got to go with dad to church. Well, this is a problem. We can't do such and such because, well, we've got this we're expected to do. The dad can't be over here to watch this or that because he is expected to be at church for said event, whatever it may be. These can start to take a toll. Now, while these responsibilities are realistic most of the time, over time, they can start to tire the pastor out. One of the things I advise any pastor going in is discuss with your family the situation, because, folks, you're not just jumping in for yourself. You're jumping all in for them as well. And you know, whether or not they like it, make sure you know as best you can how this is going to affect your family, because that is a big deal.
Now, I know, stepping aside from our word picture there, that often when it comes to church politics, there's always comparisons going on. You may have a pastor whose wife plays a piano, and she's good at it. And maybe she's good with kids, so she helps with the VBS or the missions project. And, when the pastor's there, she's there. And then you may, for whatever reason, that pastor is called away and the new pastor comes in, but his wife couldn't carry a tune if it was in a bucket. Maybe she could sing, maybe she can't sing. Maybe she's good with kids, and maybe she's not. So maybe you can't expect her to play the piano, but maybe you should at least expect her to maybe volunteer for nursery duty, let's say, or vacation Bible school. Or maybe none of those would be reasonable. Maybe she has some issues with depression or anxiety and honestly is virtually homebound. You'll know she may otherwise appear, you know, a healthy young person or older person or whatever. And I actually know a pastor whose wife kind of fell into that. She didn't meet the standards that the church folk expected because, hey, the previous pastor and his family did these things, and why can't this one? So sometimes there's some unfair expectations in church politics, and that can cause a problem. And when you compile that with, let's say, duties to family, hey, if your kids have a school play or a sporting event, and you want to be there because, hey, you're the parent. Oh, but the way the church has this board meeting that is at the same time, or the ladies' auxiliary is having a event at that same time, the expectation could be that the pastor should drop his family obligation so that he could minister to the church expectation. And that, you can push that a little bit, but you have to consider, you know, what if you had somebody in your church who was a car mechanic or a plumber or a carpenter? Would you expect them to walk off the job so that they could do something at church? Or would you expect them to drop a family obligation to partake in a event at church? Usually, no. And it is not unheard of, and I have seen it happen where the pastor's family is having a crisis, and they say, hey, my mom is in the hospital. She's not doing well. I have to be in the next state over. I'm going to have, you know, lead deacon or special speaker or whoever fill the pulpit this week. Well, that's fine. That's understandable. And the church should not have a problem with that because you got to support your pastor. The pastor has needs too. This is maybe kind of a bunny trail, but it reminds me of whenever I had young children in the house, like all in grade school age, and I was a hardworking young, probably 30-something or other, and I had a job that was barely above minimum wage, and my wife didn't work, and the mortgage had to be paid, and I had to pay for gas for the car and pay for the bills, and at the end of the month, it's like, you know, if only there was one more payday, we could almost afford to buy food. And you carry this burden, and you carry your family along. Your kids don't know, or maybe even care, because they're too young to even understand. They don't know why they can't have this new toy or new clothes. And there's a lot of burden. You know, you can pick up your kids and give them a hug and carry them. But who's going to carry dad? Who's going to carry, you know, the father and the family when the weight of life is like smashing you to flat? It's rough. I know. I've been there. Been there, done that. It's tough, a season of life, but you have to get through it. And you can get through it by muddling through. Hey, maybe you can get through by looking for a better job, a higher paying job, or any number of things to do. In my case at that time, literally, I actually left that job and went somewhere else. I actually moved to a different state and took a job for at least for a while that paid better until that job ran out. And then I was not quite back to square one. I still managed to find a better job in a better place. But sometimes you just have to let seasons of life play out, and you have to realize when it's time to step down and change gears and take a new direction.
And one thing I think the church needs to realize when a pastor does have to step down, have to change direction, that most of the time it's not personal. It's not because he hates you. As a matter of fact, he has grown most likely to love you and appreciate you. And it is very hard for him to step down. But sometimes for his family's sake, for his sake, maybe for spiritual growth, he has to do that. And he is then leaving you in the care of God to take care of that. And you know what? God is more than capable. And the pastor knows this.
So there are some thoughts on issues of family and church and what that might mean, and kind of passing it through the filter of a leadership position. Because as I said, someone who is a layperson, you may not feel that pressure. But if you're in a leadership position, whether it be the lead pastor or a children's pastor or a worship pastor or whatever title you want to hang on it, there can be pressures, and there could come a time where it's just time to step down and step away and go through a time of healing and rebuilding and getting priorities reset. So I'll stop with that.
All right, and that was the really brief, short presentation, and a couple of takeaways, if you haven't already had it hammered out, is sometimes pastors, ministers need ministering, too. And some additional thoughts is, you know, pastor is kind of based on a word that means shepherd, and that's what the people try to do is shepherd their flock. And, you know, the shepherd is really just another sheep like you and me. There's a saying, if the shepherd doesn't smell like a sheep, he's not doing a good job. Sometimes the shepherds smell a bit too much like their sheep. That's not good. They do need to at least have some time to be recharged, refreshed, maintain that cut above. I remember once as a youth, I was a really good swimmer. In fact, in Boy Scouts, I acquired my life-saving merit badge and what's the other one they have? There's another swimming pool merit badge you get that's related to that. And I had them both, and I was a good swimmer. And I went to the pool one day, and some kids knew I was a good swimmer. So they're like, hey, look at that. We're going to jump on top of him because he can just carry us along. You know what they did? They pushed me under the water to the point where I couldn't breathe. So you know what I did? I pulled them under the water, and I climbed on top of them to get back out of the water. I hate to say that, but maybe sometimes pastors need to recognize when to take some life-saving measures to stay sane. But I one thing I wanted to say before we got off this topic and closed up shop is there are some things as members of the flock that we can do for our pastors. Number one, it's an easy one. Pray for their spiritual, physical, family well-being. Pray for relationship well-being. And if you have a beef with your pastor, sometimes praying for the person you have a beef with is going to help you understand where they're coming from. And it could be life-changing for you as you pray, as much or more so than the pastor. Another thing is just give an encouraging word, even just a simple handshake on the way out, spoken, hey, great sermon, pastor, enjoy what you do. That goes a long way. But sometimes you just write a quick note, a little handwritten note, and slipped into the mail, postcard or something. Sometimes that can mean an awful lot. Another way of encouraging is supporting the pastor's family. Do things that would alleviate the stress at home. Maybe watch the kids, give the parents a night out. just be give the same uplift and encouragement to the family members as well. You know, when I was in the military, there was, and there still is, you know, military spouses, military families. They, as a spouse, you don't have the same legal benefits like, you know, from the VA or from the various institutions. And so there's a lot of side groups, I'll call them, side charities that do a lot in supporting wives when or spouses, I'll say, because there's men and women in the military who get deployed, go overseas, and are gone for quite some time. So support the families. And here's a big... a couple of big ones, you know, speak well of the church that you go to when you're out and about, because you don't need to share church politics, dirty laundry with people. It gives the impression you guys are messed up. Why should I even go there? But if you speak well of the people there, then people will say, hey, these guys are got a good thing going on. And, you know, this works in the office, too, not just the church, or not just with your pastor. When you have an office and people are always bickering and back-talking, people notice that. And if you're always, hey, you know, presenting a good, always have a good word to say about your coworkers, whether they have it about you, it doesn't matter. It gives more of an impression that you get along and you're unified. You, of course, should give of your time. In other words, volunteer. If there's something that comes up, well, I expected the pastor to do it all. Volunteer to run this committee or run this program or run this thing. If you have that skill and ability, volunteer to do that. And alleviate some of that workload. And, of course, give generously financially, of course. I notice that's the last thing on my list. It doesn't mean it's all about passing the offering plate. But whenever it does, I mean, like on this podcast, it's totally free. You download it for free. It doesn't cost you a dime. It does cost me. I don't want to tell you how much it cost me, but it cost me. But I managed to be able to afford it. So, hey, as long as I can, I'll keep doing it. But, hey, if we had generous donators and givers out there, I might be able to do a lot more with my podcast. I might be able to afford to get better audio equipment, actually get an office that has doors on it so noises and kids don't intrude. I might actually be able to do more with maybe speaking places. But, hey, these things are all powered by finances. It's all the Lord's money. If he wants me to do it, he'll pave the way. If the way is paved, I'll go on it. But if it's not, then I won't, because I can't. So there is some scripture I wanted to dive into. As a closing note, I don't want to read it because it's like the entire chapter, but Exodus 18, I'll try to summarize. It's basically Moses' father-in-law Jethro comes on the scene and he sees all this going on, and you know, hey, they had a good rejoicing, celebrating reunion. They, you know, did their sacrifices and all the usual, you know, things that they did back then. But as Moses got down to business doing what Moses did, he was the go-to guy. He was the one and only guy, just like a pastor, especially at a small church. You're the only guy, and if you're in it. And Jethro saw all this, and he says, this is not good. You're going to wear yourself out. How about if you appoint other people to hear the small stuff, and you handle the big stuff? And this is the beginnings of how the Jewish Sanhedrin was born. It was, you know, a council of tribal leaders who met, and they convened, and then they... passed on the big cases to the head honcho, or whatever you want to call it. But sometimes a pastor may be there a little OCD. They got to do everything themselves, do it their way. they're going to have a hand in everything. It's just the way they are. And sometimes the pastor is not necessarily that way, but he gets thrust into that. But regardless, you're going to reach a point where, just like a strong swimmer, somebody jumps on your back, you're not going to be a strong swimmer anymore. You're going to be an underwater swimmer. So you need help. That's what I'm saying. Now, a shorter passage I'll share. I actually have a reader to read this to me. It'll be in Acts 6, just the first 7 verses or so.
Acts 6. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said,
"It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables.
Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word."
And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem.
Where the same thing was happening in the newly founded Christian churches is that the apostles were the go-to guys. They were handling everything, handling this argument, handling this problem. And finally, I think it was Peter, steps up and he says, "Look, we're here to minister the word. If it involves ministering the word, proclaiming the word, that's us. You guys find somebody to man the tables, man the boards, as it were." Boards is the old English word. It just means, you know, where you put your food at, like the sideboard in your kitchen, the countertop, or your kitchen tables. You man the boards. You're a deacon. You're serving. You're feeding the sheep. Remember that command? Jesus told Peter, "Feed my sheep." And so sometimes the lonely pastor needs to have good, solid deacons, whether they're officially titled deacons, but he needs to have somebody, titled or not, to do the job of serving. So I guess after hearing those verses read there, I guess to wrap up, all I just want to say is it's not the responsibility of any one party or other, meaning the congregation or the pastor. It's a team effort. And sometimes the pastor struggles, not with like a morality issue, just from an overwork issue. And as a congregation, we have to ask ourselves, how much are we putting on this guy? Am I putting on too much? Am I trying to climb on his back when he's trying to swim across the river? Can he handle that? He might handle one. He might have handled 2 or 3 or 4 or more. Is the workload too much? And what can I do? Maybe I'm a good swimmer. I can swim alongside and maybe drag somebody with me or something. It's the pastor's job to find those people, and it's up to those people to volunteer to help out. Team effort. Anyway, that's my long-winded comments, epilogue on this show. So, did we already do the CPC? No, let's go ahead and do it now if we haven't already.
Looking for strategies that will help you engage in meaningful conversations with members of the Mormon Church? Well, if so, take a look at Sharing the Good News with Mormons, a new book produced by Harvest House Publishers and edited by Mormonism Research Ministries Eric Johnson and Sean McDowell. Sharing the Good News with Mormons includes 24 helpful essays from 24 Christian apologists, scholars, and pastors. Pick up your copy at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore or order directly from mrm.org.
Hello everyone, Daniel Minnick here. I host a podcast called Truth Espresso, and I am inviting you to join in. So what can you expect at Truthspresso? Well, at Truthspresso, we wake up our minds every Monday with a robust shot of truth. Let's dig deep in the Word of God as we get to know our God better together. Let's challenge our view of the world as we take apart conventional politics with a fine-toothed comb. See all that Truthspresso has to offer by going to www.truthspresso.com. And by the way, Truthspresso is now a member podcast of the growing family of the Christian podcast community. Check out other faith-building shows at ChristianPodcastCommunity.org, hosted by Striving for Eternity Ministries.
The Christian Podcast Community is a cohesive group of like-minded podcasters proclaiming the truths of Christ with expertise and passion in the areas of theology, church history, Christian living, evangelism, apologetics, parenting, homeschooling, sermons, much, much more. So check us out at ChristianPodcastCommunity.org. One stop for all your favorite Christian podcasts. ChristianPodcastCommunity.org.
So good word there from the ChristianPodcastCommunity.org. All right, well, this is just my end of the show spiel where I say thanks for listening. This is your host, Keith. Tell a friend about us. That really is how we grow our listeners the most. But hey, leave a rating and review. That has its own merit as well. So here we go, closing out the show. See you next week.
Visit life-truth.com where you can find all our shows. Leave a message or call our voicemail number at 401-753-4844. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lifetruthpage. Follow us on Twitter at HNCAST. Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at facebook.com/protectorsofthebook. Music on the show is used by permission of Kevin Zerbe at zerbinator.wordpress.com. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. May you find everything you need. And if you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. Thanks for listening.